Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, celebrating 25 years on the air with our WNST Stories of Glory, rolling them out. We're up to number 24, and our barn experiences back in the 90s, finding old pictures. People came out to the barn, I didn't even realize came out to the barn, so we're sharing that. Then next week, it's going to be community and charity series, including a lot of things we've done, including some golf tournaments back in the day with the Hooters girls, as well as lots of other times where we had hole-in-ones for cars and things like that. Maryland Crab Cake Tour's in a little bit of a hiatus right now. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have these Raven scratch-offs to give away. I gave a bunch of them away at Coco's. We had a lot of winners last week. Sat down with Max Weiss, sat down with Rasig, my sports cartoonist, lifer friend, as well as the great, great Ultra Nate, the queen of house music here in Baltimore, really around the world. Dunbar grad, had some fun with her and had a crab cake. All of it brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube. And it's a big golf week here. I mean, you can't tell me that with the Ravens losing to the Colts, the Orioles in magic numbers, the Terps are perfect on the football field, but Ryder Cup sort of comes into this thing, sort of like horse racing and other things that just sort of zoom in on us. How dare anything like preseason hockey interrupt this football season or prime out in Colorado to get in the way of a nice baseball playoff run? But Ryder Cup's a big deal. Ed Miller joins us now. He is at Pine Ridge, where they have those fantastic lessons and ways to get involved with golf to educate me about these 24 golfers doing this Ryder Cup thing. We don't do it all the time, but we got to stop everything this weekend, including, let's see, clinching the playoffs, the Ravens going to Cleveland. What's going on, Ed? How are things out on the links, man? I could be honest with you. I haven't thought about golf in a couple of weeks.
Nestor, everything is great out here. You know, we just survived this monsoon of a weekend, and hey, we're ready to get into some fall golf and talk some Ryder Cup.
All right, well, let's go here. Ryder Cup, the last I checked in, we're doing majors. We have this fissure between all of this dirty blood money coming out of Saudi Arabia and the LIV Tour. And last time I got together with you, it was mortal enemies, never getting together. Then there's a, it's been a hell, I mean, good year for the Orioles. And interesting, and by the way, the Orioles don't have a lease. I want to bring that out. I hate to bring the business into all of this. But the business of golf, the politics of the world, the money of the Dirty Kingdom, and the PGA. I mean, this is – it's been a wild, wild year to be involved in your game. Not lessons or leagues or the fun stuff that you do, but the professional side of golf's been a mess this year.
Yes, sir, it absolutely has. And to be honest with you, even though they've agreed to merge and all that stuff, we still don't know all the details, and we really don't know where this is going to go. So I think this LIV thing is going to hold over our heads for another year.
How does that play into Ryder Cup? I mean, we're talking about an international sport, international competitors. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the place where it's supposed to be political, country versus country, right? Us against them, East versus West, like all of that. That's what the Ryder Cup's interest is built on this time of year. If they're trying to pull you away from the Alabama game this weekend or trying to pull you away from anything that's going on this time of year, right?
Yes, sir. No, absolutely right. And LIV has actually influenced this Ryder Cup this year, actually more on the European side than the American side, as they got a few stalwarts who were ineligible to play on their Ryder Cup team because they had joined LIV. So, you know, guys like Sergio and Lee Westwood and a couple of their prominent players who have been a part of their last six, seven, eight teams will not be playing this year for their team. So it will be interesting.
As a fan, all of this has diminished things, right? I mean, it's made a couple of these guys, Mickelson, a few of these guys, wealthier beyond the wealth of the wealth of the wealth they already had, taking this money. Politically, wherever your mind is about cutting up journalists into little pieces in embassies, I'm sort of against those kinds of things. As a journalist myself, I just want to point that out again. There's no way for this to not be kind of ugly when it comes Ryder Cup time, right? Like maybe you get away with it and you say, well, let's invite everybody to the Masters the way we always have, or try to play nice for a couple of days or whatever. But then there does come like countries are involved in this and there's a major, as there should be in any free society, protestation to what's happened here. This hasn't been good for people like you that really love the game and just want to see the game be great. In the same way that when rival football leagues take players away, or you know, anything that's sort of college sports has been screwed up to me by the NIL. And I don't have, I mean, I want these kids to make money, but I can't say that it's as interesting to me as it used to be.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. All that money and then these new power conferences in football. I feel like, unfortunately, I feel like golf is almost going to head down that same road in 2024. Like I said, I can't wait till the details come out in this merger and see exactly what's going to go on between the LIV and the PGA Tour. You know, even back to the Ryder Cup this week, it's going to be interesting to see how the American team handles Brooks Koepka. You know, he's the one LIV guy that actually got picked and he's playing on the team. And, you know, we'll see how the dynamics of those personalities mesh when they get over there this week.
What have you noticed on the course this year in regard? I mean, look, man, as long as I've been doing this, my 25th anniversary, that was Tiger Woods' first year. It was all Tiger. It was all Tiger Phil. There's a little feeling in the last 5 years, obviously, the Tiger was going away. And, you know, he's sort of like, you know, the Halloween character. He keeps coming back to life.
Yep.
But the game itself and the problems of the politics and the money and the largesse and the international flavor of the game, there's still great golf being played, like the greatest golfers in the world. And it's probably more competitive than it's ever been because there is no Jack or Arnold or Tiger, right, at this point. Or,
right.
Or even for as long as the Shark could do it, he was still the best player, even though he didn't win all the best. But there is no number one star in golf right now, right? And maybe that's not such a good thing for golf.
So going back to the big three of Jon Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, and Rory McIlroy, that's kind of like our new – the big three. Whether one is the true number one, like, say, we had with Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, we're not quite there. But kind of like what you said, that kind of answers to the depth of the PGA Tour now. Anybody can win on any given weekend, it seems like. And, yes, while there's the big three and they tend to dominate a lot of the headlines or up on the leaderboards, the reality is there's a lot of guys that can win any given week on any of these tours.
And nobody's dominating to the point where they're winning two or three majors in the way that we have seen – Federer, you know, in tennis, and Serena, and this, and Tiger, and Tom Brady, and you know, I mean, this sort of dominant personality that takes over the sport and makes it a must-see thing for beating the new Paul Bunyan, right? There's no Paul Bunyan in golf at this point, and I think the courses, the way it sets up, the international part of it. That sort of dominant thing we saw from Tiger, dare I say, we'll never see it again. But, I mean, Mahomes is trying to do what Brady did, right? I mean, there's always sort of the next thing that comes along. But that's what made Tiger so unique in the modern era. Is if he didn't come along, there wouldn't have been any of that. In the same way, if Serena wasn't there, who would have been that dominant, right?
Right, correct. Yeah, it's – I have to side with you on that one. I'm not sure if you'll ever see anybody who can win 8-9 tournaments a year, one or two majors a year. Man, I think the way the PGA Tour is set up, being so international at this point, I just don't know if you're going to see anybody that dominant. Not for a long time.
Ed Miller is here. He just didn't give thoughts on LIV and PGA and Ryder Cups and majors. He's also out on the course on a daily basis as the PGA Pro at Pine Ridge. I thought Forest Park. I'm like, no, that's right. Let's see, Mount Pleasant. That's where it used to be. I drove past Mount Pleasant the other day down Pearing Parkway in Hillen, and I was over by Carroll Park because my lottery friends are right across the street from Carroll Park. And I do drive past the reservoir up past our radio station on occasion and visit with you. Leaves are changing, and I would just say this from a weather perspective this year. Because I don't remember it being oppressively hot. We've had this sort of long, weird fall where it's been in the 60s and 70s, a little San Diego weather. Boy, oh boy, your golf course and even rainstorms and the Ophelia thing, we had 550-yard field goals in a game on Sunday. I would think you could have played a round of golf on Sunday other than the slop that was left behind, which a guy like you probably doesn't mind playing and all that. But it's been a really good weather year for Classic 5, for you, for all the golf courses, and I think for anybody that wants to go out and play golf this year, it's been easier to keep some bikini wax greens this year, hasn't it?
Yes, sir, it actually has. You know, we have had a couple stretches, but nothing that's lasted more than 3 or 4 days. And honestly, I believe this weekend may have been the most challenging weekend weather-wise we've had in the last 4 months. You're right. It's been a great year for golf,
Well, how do you
weather-wise.
get people going when they come up and visit with you? If they're watching Ryder Cup this weekend and get inspired, if there's somebody like me, I mean, my back, this is the 2 year anniversary of me screwing my back up 2 years ago this weekend. It was the weekend that Tucker hit the kick in Detroit that I messed my back up. And, getting back into literally the swing of things, right? Like, I got Rick Dempsey on this week. He's going to try to talk me into doing fantasy camp baseball with the Orioles. I'm like, I can't throw a party right now, let alone a wiffle ball. Thinking about swinging a golf club, but for people who love golf and people who may have been injured or getting a little older, haven't picked a club up in a while, the first step really is to find somebody like you, right?
Yes, sir. No, you know, especially here at Pine Ridge, we are the headquarters of the Baltimore Golf Academy. You want to come see myself, one of my assistants, or even Coach Jay, the head of our golf academy, and we will get you on the right path to either improving or getting you back into golf if you're coming off of an injury. Because obviously, we don't want you to hurt yourself. You know, we
How
want you
these
to keep
golf
playing.
guys get me going? Academy. That sounds too big league for me. I don't feel like I'm ready for that kind of a. I'm not ready. My parents tried to put me in academy out at McDonough when I was a kid. I'm like, no, I'm going to Dundalk. You know what I mean? Academy. Tell me what the academy's about. I love that.
Well, we call it the Golf Academy, and it's really, you know, we have Coach Jay, who's our head instructor, and we have 4 or 5 instructors under her, and we just run classes all year long for juniors, adults, beginners, accomplished. We're really good at keeping it casual for the new golfer, making sure that you learn, but most important, making sure it's fun, because that's why we want you to play golf. Golf can be fun, and you know, once we get you hooked, you're in. That's usually the way it works.
So my son turned 39 over the weekend, and it was the 50th anniversary of my first Colts game. Was Saturday, seeing Joe Namath in 1973. So I've been a little wistful in all this, and I found old pictures of my kid, right? So I want to embarrass him a little bit, show some funny pictures of him running around in diapers, and me being a 15-year-old parent with him on my lap, right? So I share all this, and I start thinking about like things we did that were fun, and I found a picture of us from hitting golf balls over on Kane Street behind Patterson High School when they first put the screens in over there. And we go over there for $5 with a bucket of balls. And my kid loves shooting baskets and throwing football and baseball. I mean, his last name's Aparicio. He likes sports, right? N not as much as a 39-year-old sort of a fan of sitting in the upper deck. He did all of that, right? So that's half the reason the stadium's empty. The other half's people like Chad Steele. But for me, that hitting the ball with my kid, that experience of going out and just watching him whack it and trying to tell him how to hold his arm the right way and like not hit it like a baseball bat, right? Like all the things that Norm taught me, back in the 90s about, holding out. Like, so we go to do that. And then I think about that experience today. If I were to come up where I've been to Pine Ridge and I see what computers do and how a young person like my kid that just, he's a nut. He was 12, 13. He had all this energy. I just wanted to take him out and spend 15, $20 and let him hit on something. It wasn't they do sledgehammers now and they have all of this throwing knives, all the. How about a golf club and a bucket of balls, kid, right? Come to Pine Ridge with that. Like my wife. My wife loves to play golf. She's not great at it. But like if she wants to get better at it. And she were to come up there and get a bucket of balls with her sister on a weekend, hit the ball. It's a different kind of thing now with video and with getting better at it because you could probably get better at it in the first hour pretty quickly
Yes, sir.
with the tools you have now that aren't just, I'm going to go get a bucket of balls and whack them.
Correct, correct. Now, obviously, for the small percentage that is still available, if you don't want the technology, you can still hit bucket of balls. But you are absolutely right. With the top tracer up here, it just gives you a lot of information and feedback that can make improvement a lot quicker, as well as keeping the younger golfers entertained or more into their practice, because there are a ton of games involved with this top tracer system. It's not always about practice, but it's a way to help make practice fun. And that's one of the things that we're starting to see with the younger generation. They definitely have fun with that. They have contests with each other. And you can actually have a contest with a friend who's in a different state if they're at a top tracer facility. So it's that part has been pretty neat, pretty unique. And you know, going back to the father-son thing, that's kind of how I started with my dad, kind of similar stories to what you're talking about. So I think my dad used to want to wear me out so I could take a nap. And being here at Pine Ridge, I still see a good amount of that. Parents and kids coming out, whacking balls, and you know, getting future golfers involved.
Well, you know, I'm a baseball guy, right? Baseball family, hit a baseball, play baseball. I can't. My dad didn't play golf. My dad played basketball. He played baseball. My dad didn't play soccer, right? So I didn't play soccer when I was a kid. My dad boxed. So, you know, I had boxing gloves when I was a kid. And you know, my dad grew up in the 20s and 30s. My father was much older than me. But the baseball thing that he – that my dad was, my dad lost his son in 1969. I was sort of a replacement child. My dad was always the guy that had five helmets, the bag, the bats, the balls, the catcher's equipment in our spare little storage facility we shed that we had in our backyard. And I think about like him carting all that out. I was the bat boy when I was 3, 4, 5 years old, and sitting out baseball practice where the kid in right field is picking daisies and nobody plays and nobody moves at baseball practice. And then I think about like a golf where you give me the ball, boom, boom, boom. I just get to do things. It's like putt-putt in Ocean City. I used to have to wait to do that when I was a kid and loved it when I was a kid playing putt-putt. There is something about like, if you're coming out the golf, to your point, it can make it fun pretty quick.
Oh yeah.
Here's a ball. Here's a club. You know, here's Top Tracer. We can make this fun for you, and you can get better at it quickly. That I could see that being a little bit more than my dad pulling all the stuff out of the shed and going up and hitting fungos and ground balls, because baseball practice was not fun, dude, especially not in March. It was cold as hell. It was not fun.
Oh, right.
Right?
Yeah, no, I hear you. And that's, you know, nobody ever likes to practice. So, you know, if we
practice,
can do
this, as Allen Iverson would say.
Yeah, right. We got to make it as fun as we can. Otherwise, you know, who wants to practice? You're right.
Look, I'm still practicing radio here, trying to get it right. Give everybody your digits. Tell everybody how to find you. Ed Miller's here from Classic 5. Tom comes on sometimes. We get the guys from all over the place. But with Ryder Cup coming up this week, I want to make everybody aware that, yeah, the Ravens are playing games, sometimes better than others. Yeah, the Orioles are going to get a bye. But you can still play golf, and it's readily available, and you don't need to be a country – you don't need to go to the academy to play golf, right, Ed? I mean, you can just come out and play, right?
Yes, sir. No. Please come visit us. You know, Pine Ridge is just one of five. You can always visit us on classic5golf.com. Come out and get some lessons, play golf, have fun, go to the driving range. And remember this, you can get your golf round done and still be home in time to support your Orioles. You know, they don't usually – you know, first pitch is not till about 7 o'clock at night, so – plenty of time to go golf, get your exercise, and then go home and still cheer the home team on.
I had occasion this week to book, and this will tell you the kind of company you're keeping, Ed, okay? Because, you know, Tom calls you and the Maroon P, hey, you got to go home with Nestor. All right, it's not BAL, but I mean, he'll be fun, but nobody will listen. Rick Dempsey, I reached him over the weekend to come on. And, you know, when you're booking Rick Dempsey on a show to talk about fantasy camp and my old friend Jay Harris and, you know, the baseball academy that he has down in Columbia now, I book Rick on. He's like, hey, I got tee times. Yeah, we got to work the show when he's out in California. Got to work the show time in between. This is what happens when you're a World Series MVP. You play golf is what you do.
Oh, yeah.
Billick, play. I want Billick this week. I got to work around his tee time. Want Marvin Lewis? I got to do it between tee times. So that's where I am this time of year, because all you knuckleheads got to get all of this in before the leaves change and the weather changes. Right. I mean, this is right? I mean, this is like that last weekend at the beach for people like me that like the beach, right?
Yes, sir. This is like our home stretch. You know, obviously we have some people that'll play all year round, but if you like that over 60, we're starting to get to that time. As soon as them leaves change, it's cold.
What the other thing that happens, and speak to me if I'm wrong about this. I had Max Weiss on from Baltimore Magazine. She's the editor in chief. Where Sig came on, she did a whole essay on Oriole bandwagon fans and how invited are they? You know what I mean? How much are we going to deal with these bandwagon fans and whatnot? I would think every spring somebody comes out and says, Ed, Mr. Miller, teach me golf. March, April, by May, they discover girls or boys or the summer or the beach or the Orioles or playoff tickets or whatever their thing is. September and October, it's just guys like you and gals like you, right? Like, it's the people that love golf. There's more availability. There's It's a better time to play than spring when it's a little more like everybody in the gym Planet Fitness the day after January 2nd, right? Like this time of the year, you sort of weed it out. It's just the serious people, right?
There's definitely some truth to that for sure. And, you know, usually the golf courses are in great shape this time of year too. So it kind of benefits the diehards that kind of stick through it all year round. So it's kind of like our bonus.
All right. We got the Pine Ridge. You'll find the Top Tracer. You'll find beautiful greens up in the woods and the leaves changing and suburbia, but you can hit it at Carroll Park. You can hit it at Mount Pleasant. You can hit it at Forest Park. Find your way around the Beltway Classic 5. I forgot one. Which one did I forget?
What'd you say? Did you say Mount Pleasant, Pine Ridge, Carroll, Clifton, and
Clifton.
Ford?
I forgot Clifton. How can I forget Clifton? I was in Lauraville at Cocos last week. How can I forget Clifton Park? I was almost sitting in it. All right, so there you have it. The Classic 5. Find the Classic 5 golf. Find the Ryder Cup this weekend. Ed, did you get playoff tickets?
No, I did not.
All right. Well, maybe you and I'll be watching a game up at the Hollywood Casino in Perryville before it's all over with, or over at Coco's or Pappas or somewhere good. Costas will be somewhere good for these playoff games. Luke's at the ballpark all week for Clinchmas. Lucas in Owings Mills because they don't let me in anymore for Cleveland. I did have some questions in the aftermath of Sunday, as you can well imagine. My column now is now up at the Baltimore Positive. Columnists on the power of three and 3 seconds at the two-minute warning and 3 points that happen one way or another, and the Orioles' magic number that began the week at three. We're celebrating 25 years here, courtesy of our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter, and 25 stories of glory, and time will not dim the glory of your deeds in helping us keep WNST alive. No one listens. Everyone hears. I'm Nestor. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.